the meeting to order for the Port of Port Townsend, our first commission meeting of August. And let's see, do we have a motion on the agenda? Do we have any changes for the agenda today?
No changes requested by staff.
Okay. And do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
I move we accept the agenda as presented.
A second.
Pam seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
And then on public comments, do we have some public comments, Karen?
I have three. Should I read them all aloud?
Yes.
They're quite long. The first one's from Bertram. I think you've all read them, right?
Yeah, I read the Bertram one.
Okay, and we're doing this for the record. Okay.
For the record and anybody who may be watching.
Yeah, we've got one person online there, so. So this one's from Bertram, and he actually said the subject was workshop budget comments, but we did consider these during the workshop, so that's fine. One, prepay. Thanks for considering this option. I have a few comments. What is the percentage charge for credit card use? What mechanism would you use to refund prepay if the slip is used for transient when the tenant is out? If a tenant releases tenancy, what would the mechanism of refunding the balance of the year? Two, ramp. I agree with removing the three-month incentive. The idea of its inception was based on a significant drop in annual pass purchase over the last 4 years and based on the annual pass running from January 1 to December 1. When the port went on a random 12-month system, the incentive system ceased to have any relevance. B, I believe that the port would benefit from going to January to December system. Ramp users would get an annual sticker which they would apply to the trailer. This would allow port staff to monitor which tenants are prepaid. The daily users would have to pay to apply a daily sticker or a barcode to the trailer, which would allow the port to readily monitor which users are not paying. This would identify the users that don't pay. On the latter note, there is a folk myth that the ramp is free and the users are paying for the use of the parking lot. If you observe, there are a number of trailers that are parked on the street even when the lot is empty. Yesterday, I counted 7 trailers. These numbers represent lost revenue, which add up to over a season. Incentive programs for annual pass purchase still could be useful. The key is water use. As discussed with Aaron, the port needs to look at the cost of the washdown with the water bills. It remains to be seen if this is a significant utility cost, but the port should not be gifting services. Water use could be included in the annual cards, but charged extra for daily ramp users. Also, there should be a 10-minute limit. Washing is for the axles, not for washing the boat or flushing the engine for long periods of time. If the time exceeds 10 minutes, the water shuts off. People who want more water should have to purchase additional water use time. Annual pass purchasers could reinsert their card for an additional 10 minutes. 3. Coupling costs to cost centers for capital improvement makes good sense. I have advocated for this for years. I will be interested to review the Commission's comments on this issue. Thank you for your consideration. Bertram Levy. And the second one comes from Charlie Kaniski. He says, Hi all. Here are some things to consider when planning your 2021 budget. 1, make sure to get the maximum amount for the IDD for the next year. You need this money for projects, and the public clearly showed that they want these projects done. So this is politically safe and necessary for our infrastructure. 2, skip the additional person to work on grants for Point Hudson. You can subcontract out any grant writing necessary without adding an additional person you need to pay full time, give retirement and health insurance to. The reason that the budget has worked for the last 2 years is that expenses were held. Adding an additional person for this would violate that. 3, skip adding someone to administer the IDD money. This seems ridiculous in that the infrastructure that it is used for will have engineering oversight attached to it. Not necessary, and would again violate what got us here. In parens, not bankrupt, see number 2 above. Thanks for listening, Charlie and Liz Kaniski. And the third one is even longer. It's from someone whose name he did not want to have published, who lives in Discovery Bay Highland. He says, I noticed that there is a public Port Public Commission meeting tomorrow, August 12th, 2020. I just noticed this today on the port's website. I mention this because while I realize that my concerns expressed below will not be an agenda item, that there is a chance that they might be discussed without the direct mention of my name. 2 weeks ago, yesterday, I left a voice message with the airport, apparently also the Port's General Administration phone number, to express some concerns regarding both the safety and noise level of extremely low-flying aircraft, some on landing, but most after takeoff. Overwhelmingly, these are very small aircraft, some extremely loud. I find it amazing that there is a huge difference in noise level of aircraft of the same generally quite small approximate size. I assume that this mostly likely has to do with the age of the aircraft. I left my phone number and left a polite message asking for a call back. No one has ever called me back. I am aware that there is essentially no direct control by the port over how or where pilots fly, and that the routes suggested to avoid direct flight, except in emergency or safety, of course, over the areas on the map of the airport area that are outlined by white lines on the port website are essentially only guidelines and are not in any way enforced by the port. Clearly, these guidelines are not being followed by at least a significant minority of the aircraft, especially on weekends. The noise level generated by these low and directly overhead aircraft during these mostly Saturday and Sunday times during the summer is extremely high and extremely frequent. I am aware that as a resident in the Discovery Bay Heights division and due to the location of my home near the airport, it is to be expected that there will be aircraft noise. However, and this is my point, I am questioning whether there is any training or emphasis given to pilots to be even minimally aware concerning both the safety issues relating to directly flying at low altitudes over houses near the airport and or the extremely loud ground level noise that these aircraft may be generating. I am also questioning whether or not there is any oversight by the port concerning FAA published minimal altitude requirements and or noise level measurement methods and or aircraft FAA published noise level requirements under 14 CFR part 36.501. I will admit to a very incomplete understanding of these code regulations, for which it appears that there are many exceptions. I want to strongly emphasize that I am in no way advocating for any discontinuation of aircraft activity at the Jefferson County Airport. At the same time, I would respectfully request that the concerns addressed above be brought to the port's attention and that someone there have the courtesy to discuss this issue with me and to recognize that this is a legitimate concern. I would also appreciate that my name not be announced publicly or in the minutes of any port meetings due to the very strong feelings of some community members expressed, and I paraphrase as, the airport was there before you or your neighborhood, so you have no business complaining, or you should have considered the airport noise before you moved here. While I acknowledge and appreciate these sentiments, I also feel that as a resident and a taxpayer, I have the right to voice my concerns that the port's published quote-unquote guidelines for both safety and noise mitigation are not being followed by the substantial number of low-flying aircraft while both taking off and landing. Respectfully, Discovery Bay Highland resident.
And I saw that Liz Koenig just texted that she chat was on the...
Oh, her hand is raised as well. Should I allow her to... Oh, you muted yourself, Pete. I will allow Liz to talk. Yeah. There you are, Liz.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi there. Do you want me to show you or is it okay if I just talk?
Go ahead and just talk. That's fine.
Okay. So I actually sent you all an email, Charlie and I put together, just as a follow-up to the email that you read earlier. You know how much we love to get involved in the budget process. Really something we enjoy. I know that might sound a little strange. So I'm just going to read the email, and this is just an opportunity to kind of continue having these conversations. The budget process, we believe, is such an important opportunity for policy level considerations for the port, for our port, and so it's one of the parts of the process we really like to get involved in. So we would like to follow up on and expand our recent comments regarding our 2020 operating capital budget planning process and share some perspectives we have from being deeply involved in court financial plan issues over the last 3 years, and just from our own professional experience. It's always been our goal, as stated in our financial freedom plan, to help create a financially healthy and sustainable court organization that meets our community's needs. So with that goal in mind, we just have a few additional thoughts we'd like to share, insights and suggestions as commissioners work on a budget package. First one is we would really like to see a very well integrated package of operating budget, 6-year capital budget, including actual funding sources, not just a wish list, and revenues, and where those are coming from, including a clear proposal for the IDD taxing levels. We'd like to suggest that you seriously consider maximizing the IDD funds, which was mentioned in our early email, and really use them to fund mission critical projects. There's kind of a policy level discussion, I think, to have about when we pursue grant money and versus using IDD funds to fund our capital needs, because grants are really more of a wish than a promise of funding. So if we're going to get critical projects shovel ready, let's fund them with IDD generated local dollars or loans. Commissioners need to have an in-depth discussion about how to maximize these funds. Staff working on capital projects can be funded through the capital budget as long as they're needed, but they don't need to be added to our operating expenses. We'd also like to reiterate that our suggestion back in 2018 was to hold expenses to 2017 levels for 5 years, to focus on court operating budget that's sustainable. The 2020 budget was the first one to do that, and so we'd like to see 2017 levels held expenses, operating expenses for 5 years, look hard at the existing organizational structure and talent, and develop a strategic plan. We'd also like to discourage the use of language of this subsidizing one service over another, and look at our whole port as providing services to the community. Boats and marinas and boating facilities can all be an operational unit, and Point Hudson doesn't need to be self-supporting. It's kind of like saying Yellowstone Park should be self-supporting. We're saying that this is a national treasure. All of the boating and marine facilities are interrelated, and they help fuel the marine trade in Jefferson County. We'd also like to suggest keeping rate increases at the CPI, not above. Stay true to that policy and commitment to tenants and patrons. We would like to suggest that commissioners and the community be involved in transparent negotiations with the Teamsters Union. So make those negotiations transparent so that we can all understand what those are about.
So Liz?
Yeah?
I'm going to jump in here real quick. So, you know, we did a public workshop this morning on budget.
Yeah, I know. And I can't be in on that. I'm sorry.
Well, the problem is that, you know, we do limit our public comments to 3 minutes. So. Much longer are you going to be?
I have two more bullets.
Okay, because it really would have been more appropriate to do this at the workshop than the commission meeting.
I do the best I can do. So
do we.
I hear that you want ongoing comments from the public, and so, you know, I know the budget process is not an overnight thing.
Right.
I've got a few more bullets, and you'll see the email in writing as well.
Okay.
So, transparent negotiations with the Teamsters Union. Would also like to consider reviving the recommendations from the March 2017 Marina Assessment Report, the one that looked at customer service. Develop a plan for improved customer service and follow the very reasonable and low-cost recommendations from that report that was done in 2017. And then the last thing is develop a preventative maintenance plan with your existing staff. It's really a planning function in addition to a maintenance function. Maintenance folks really need a planner who can help them go through the steps, think big picture, picture and develop a plan, and I provided a link for an example of how to develop a preventative maintenance plan, including a budget for that. And those are my comments. Thank you for the opportunity to be involved.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you, Liz.
Are there any other comments, Karen?
No, I don't see anyone else with their hand up either.
Karen?
Yeah.
Hello. Mute Karen.
Sorry, I was muted. No other comments.
Okay, so moving on to section 4, consent agenda. Everybody had a chance to go through the consent agenda.
I have a couple of questions for Abigail before I make a motion.
Okay.
Abigail there.
Yes, I am waiting.
Okay. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to go over this with you before. There's Arrow Lumber, that's for blocking materials, I guess?
No, Arrow Lumber is for the DDOT work. That's special ordered and treated lumber.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Mott McDonald's, that Point Hudson project?
It is.
Okay. C Technology, I think we went over this before and I forget.
It's the linear dock electrical.
Ah, gotcha.
Material.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. If Pam doesn't have anything, then I will make a motion. Oh, she does.
I have one thing on the minutes.
This thing?
On page 4. Under my comments, I forgot the 7th line. It says, she toured the Jamestown Swell on Flexi and spoke with them. I'd just like you to take the words out and spoke with them, because they really gave a tour to me about the Flexi. I didn't give a tour. Just cross off and spoke with them.
Okay.
And that's it.
So what about the rest of it, the potential Flexi at Point Hudson? That all goes?
He toured the Jamestown Slalom Track with Mr. Berg about a potential Flexi at Point Hudson. Sounds good.
Okay.
And I had a quick question to Abigail. So I see you make one annual payment to Enduris, is that right? That $225?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Yes, that's correct.
And I mean, it seems like it would be a little bit better to make quarterly payments. It would just give us a little more flexibility with cash. No? Yes? Do they do that?
I have not asked that question.
Would you like that? I mean, that's a lot of cash to pump out of one chunk like that to plan for.
Typically, it's not so bad because we're just at the end of a season anyway, so we've built up some good cash reserves.
Okay.
I could ask about that for next year.
Yeah. And then as long as we're on Enduris, do you have any idea? I mean, you kind of commented on our notes with the workshop about what they thought they might be going up to. What's a round number related to what you gave us in that? I couldn't quite follow what that meant in terms of an actual dollar amount, annual dollar amount.
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, I'm looking at 225 this year. Are we looking at 250 next year? Like a 10% increase, 5% increase? Don't know.
Yeah, that's going to mean some more conversation with Enduris, which would be part of my budgeting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So that's my only comments.
Abigail, I have a question on the warrants for finding out more who C Technology is on page 9.
Uh-huh.
22,000.
Right, that is the electrical materials for a linear dock.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Bill, have you made a motion?
I have not, but I'm proud to do such a thing. I would like to make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Pam, you want to second that?
Second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And blitzing through second and first to part 7 and the COVID model update with Aaron.
All right. I don't think we've got a whole lot to report on this front. You can see the model continues to perform about as predicted. We've got a summary page and some detail on reserve estimates at the back end. We don't have any recommendations at this point. We're just for the model, and that's really about all I've got. Abigail, is there anything that you would want to add on the COVID model?
No. No, I don't think so at this time. Is there any questions?
I would just comment that with your, you know, your the statement in the back on, I'm looking on pages 19 through 21, really helps to have highlighted. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, good.
Yes, appreciate you doing that. So, but no, other than that, I don't have any questions. Everybody good? Moving on. Okay. Okay, so on to part B of regular business, comprehensive scheme of harbor improvements.
Yeah, so what we're bringing you tonight, or this afternoon, I guess, is a bit of an update on the scheme. I think it's fair to say we find ourselves a little behind the eight ball in that there is a call for funding through our CO this year, the biennial program, that matches nicely with two projects where we've got needs, one being one of the IDD listed priority projects, MathMath's boat launch, and the other being the Gardner boat launch. Apparently, the only public access to Discovery Bay. Of course, RCO, I think, as you commissioners are probably aware, requires you have an updated planning document on file, and updated for them being within the last 6 years. And so we set about the work of essentially trying to update the comp scheme utilizing the compendium of documents, and they really want a comp scheme with a new date on it. So then we thought, all right, well, what if we take our comp scheme and simply bring it to you for a new date? That didn't really make a lot of sense because quite a lot of work has already gone into a revised comp scheme, which was last presented to you in January. And so what we're proposing is to bring you that updated revision that you last saw in January on a fairly expedited approval process, but not have this be kind of the end-all of a major comp scheme update, more of an interim step that makes those common sense updates that were included in January, gets us the date stamp that will maintain our qualification to apply for RCO funding, and then you know, commit to doing a more comprehensive comp scheme update following that. Whether that's 2021 or 2022, I think is a legitimate conversation for the commission. I know that there's pent-up demand to update the strategic plan. We've got the ad hoc group working in the yard on some revised layout ideas. Those will clearly feed into the comp scheme, as well as some of our, you know, capital programs that we're trying to develop, recognizing IDB funding and capital needs. So there's definitely going to be pressure to make changes to the comp scheme, but if we wanted to make those substantive changes now, we would not be able to do so in time for our RCO grant deadline. So the proposal is pretty expedited. You can see timeline-wise, bringing back that January draft at your next meeting on September 9th, running a public hearing and first reading on September 23rd, running the CEPA process concurrently, so you'd have a second reading and a proposed adoption on October 14th, which would allow us to get that to RCO with their approval of a waiver, because their hard deadline is September 1st, so we'd be requesting a waiver to bring it to them by the end of October rather than the beginning of September. That's what we're trying to accomplish. If we are not able to apply for this particular source of funding, you know, it closes that door for two more years. And my objective, and I think, you know, Liz is right, and that you can't count on grants until you get them, but you also can't get them unless you apply. And we've got projects that are are really on all fours with RCO's purpose and should rank well. So I'd like to be in line for those projects. Every time there's a cycle, I think Port of Port Townsend should be there with projects until we run out of projects to prosecute.
I would just comment for the record too that it's important to remember you can update your comp scheme whenever you want, so that again, just so it's on the record that, you know, even if we move it on this this fast track, we're going to come back and redo it. And I would also bring up one thing I did notice: we do need to change the executive director on page 28.
Right. So what you've got in the packet is the January scheme. So we'll certainly make any updates that occurred between then and now.
Yes, I'd like to kind of follow up on Pete's comment in that I support going after the grant that will help us out here, and I'm willing to see an expedited process here. But I really this is such an important and critical document to the port, yeah, that it really needs a full public hearing, and I think it's going to take some hard work to really get the final document. But unless Les tells us otherwise, I think we can update this thing every afternoon at 2 p.m. But I'm just cautioning. Concerned that things that are temporary have a way of becoming entrenched, and I want to make clear that I really want this done ultimately in the right way.
Aaron, is it possible to update the part or in the comp scheme regarding the ramps, and for us to adopt what we have that has gone over thoroughly in the time frame that you're asking for, and then we will continue to update the rest of it? Can we update what we're calling good, and then can we work on things more thoroughly, like Bill is suggesting, with a lot of public input in the future?
Yeah, I think that's what we're proposing. Maybe the question you're asking is, do the January updates go too far too fast? I'm not sure. Is that kind of where you're
that? I'm seeing that that what is on the table right now, what you're presenting to us, the part that's been updated, is extremely thorough. And can we to qualify for the RCO grant, can we update a portion of this in the thorough way that we have time for, and then qualify for the grant, and then continue updating it in a thorough way in the future?
Yes, yeah. So I think that's, our idea would be to take that January draft, make some modifications to it that kind of fit what we know between then and now. And the key for RCO is within 6 years and include the projects you're applying for. That's what they care about. And then, for sure, I think the question for the commission is, how do you want to, the timing and process for a more comprehensive comp scheme update? How would the strategic plan fit into that? The yard work group recommendations, and anything else that would feed into that, and whether you want to make that a 2021 priority, and if so, what's the timing? If it is 2021, I'm going to recommend we do it early so we don't run into election season next year with major planning process underway. So I guess the answer is yes, and I would toss back to the commission the question about, with the commitment to continue updating more comprehensively, when and how do you want to do it so we can effectively engage the community in a time period that really makes sense?
Yeah, for me, I'd like to see the comprehensive scheme and the strategic plan kind of align together, so that, you know, if you read from one to the other, there's not much confusion. And I think you're right, probably if we can get this settled by the end of the first quarter of 21, that would be really great. I don't know if that's too much pressure.
My sense of the last strategic plan, of course I wasn't here, but Eric was, that was a full year process with major engagement with stakeholders and community. And if that's what folks are really thirsting for, then clearly we couldn't have it done first quarter of 2021. So I think it's not a question that is begging for an answer at tonight's meeting, but one really that I think the three of you need to think about as we start to plan 2021. I will point out, this is exactly the kind of scenario, and you know, kind of following up on this morning's meeting and my request to consider a capital projects manager, you know, this is Eric's bread and butter. I mean, this is what he knows and does extremely well. And the reason you've got a January draft that you're now seeing last minute in August is not because he didn't want to get it done sooner. It's because there was really no extra hours on Sunday afternoons to execute that work. And so what you're experiencing is that workload is resulting in something fairly significant not being done in the time frame or in the way that we would like. And so, you know, pulling that capital project work to somebody who specifically assigned that, I think will really assist us in our longer range planning efforts.
I would like to see us, I think, Aaron, as far as elections go next year, none of us are up for election next year, so there is no pressure in that regard.
I think I have in my mind the two of you are up next year. Am I off?
You're off by a year. Am I wrong?
Well, it's every two.
Whoever's going to take the helm after we leave has to run next year. They have to file in May, run in August and November, and then take office.
Hmm. So we run following year. We're running for election next year.
Yeah.
Well, some of us are.
Shows how much I'm paying attention.
Well.
So I guess the way I would say it is the two of you are in the third of your 4-year term. Next year is the fourth year, and therefore the election year.
Wow. Yeah,
like,
court
election
party, having fun. Yeah.
And so, my only just recognizing that from a public process standpoint, you know, the politics and planning often don't align well. So if they're engaged campaign, that is, in my experience, one of the worst times to be trying to do long-range planning. Particularly if there's a potential of change, which there always is in any election, right? I mean, potentially different people come a couple months after the conclusion of a major process.
Right. If you want to keep the noise to a dull roar, you really need to have this done by the first meeting in May, because that's when filers for office have to put their hat in the ring.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was next year, so. My comment is irrelevant, and I'm with Bill that we would have to have this planned out. I do think that you're right, Aaron, in syncing, and Bill and Pam, in syncing the strategic plan with the comp scheme. And I mean, it doesn't seem like we couldn't have that done by that period. I mean, we're going to be kind of busy with I still think, pandemic issues and budget as we move into Q4, but maybe by December, if we get through budget, we can start taking this on.
Yeah, what we don't have that we had last time in terms of the strategic plan is that we really haven't reconstituted the Citizens Advisory Group, and whether or not we want to do that, and how we want that to look, and you know, if we're going to employ them for this process, we really need to get our, you know, get on our horse pretty quick.
Yeah. Okay.
We've got a requested action from you on page 26, if you're comfortable with this course.
And I noticed that, and I was about to say that unless there's some other, well, I will make a motion. I move to authorize staff to proceed with the preparation of an update to the comprehensive scheme of harbor improvements as necessary to maintain eligibility for grant funding, with a first reading and commission public hearing anticipated to be conducted on September 23rd, 2020, and a second reading and adoption anticipated on October 14th, 2020. Where's that effect? No second. Okay.
We're waiting. Yeah, we're. What do you think, Pam?
This is something that, Aaron, that you believe that we can go about in this time frame. How do you feel?
Well, I think it's aggressive, but I really don't want to leave the opportunity to seek RCO funding off the table, because I recognize we're on the cusp of closing the Gardner boat ramp for safety reasons. And once closed, if we're multiple years away from reopening and reconstruction, I think it sort of jeopardizes our actual legal access there and also our ability to get it back. So, yeah, I think it's going to be... what is Eric likes? Is he a Scotch man? I think it might require some Scotch to help him execute this. It's a heavy lift.
Yeah.
Well, how do we incorporate putting in the strategic plan by October?
Oh, we don't. No.
I just meant the motion on the table.
Okay.
Regardless of how much staff capacity we had, there would be no way to meaningfully engage the community in that short time. We've got to be looking at two steps. Short term, update the comp scheme now, primarily for grant eligibility. Longer term, as yet undefined time period and process, community engagement, stakeholder engagement, strategic plan update, comp scheme update, and all of that.
We're updating the comp scheme twice, Pam, within a year.
I just wanted to make sure that's really clear.
That's my warning about temporary thing becoming permanent.
Right.
Yeah, and for the public at large, the only thing we can say is that the three of us and port staff on the community's trust in us, we're giving them our word, we're coming back and doing this as far as updating the comp scheme and engaging in the strategic plan as quick as we can, which is next year. So, and hopefully before that May meeting.
Okay.
So, there's a proposal on the table. Do you want a second, Pam?
I'll second.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so that motion carries. And ICC updates. Is that you, Aaron?
Yeah, I don't have really much to add on the ICC. The last meeting occurred right after our last, the last ICC meeting occurred the day after the last commission meeting. We received some updates from some of the community groups. My guess is those of you who are participating in community groups probably have more current information than I have. Process-wise, though, that's exactly the path forward. Community groups are meeting. They're trying to winnow down some kind of key recommendations. And the next meeting, which is August 27th, we'll start to see what those look like with the idea, I believe, of the September 24th meeting, that there will be some public process involvement to kind of get those sharpened up for potential drafting moving into the October-November time period.
Okay. Comments or questions?
I can you what the food systems group is experiencing.
Sure.
Okay. So there's weekly meetings from the food group where all of us are meeting together 1 week and then doing listening sessions the following week. There's been a lot of time just trying to figure out the structure, the how we go about analyzing everything, gathering data. But our time frame for doing all of that is extremely limited. Greg Brotherton let us know that the CARES money available to Jefferson County needs to be determined and designated probably within this next month. There's a certain amount that's been given to Jefferson County. There's lots of options for what we can do with it, but it needs to be a project that is fundable now and not funding for some future thing. For example, someone brought up, well, can we fund like a project manager to distribute food? And no, we can't fund like a position, but we can fund buying something now. And then if we don't, money goes away. So we have a list of projects that we're looking at, and we're gonna narrow that down and come up with something a lot quicker than we thought we needed, with a lot quicker than the amount of time we thought we originally had.
And just adding to Aaron's comments, I think that was kind of our realization at the ICC level too, was some of the participants at the ICC meeting were like, oh, well, we're going to do a lot of these different things that are going to require a lot of community involvement and yada, yada, yada. And there's just not enough time to do that process. So I think that realization is becoming relevant at all levels of this process.
Yeah. On the broadband working group has had a couple of meetings or a meeting or so since the last Port Commission meeting. And we had the Washington, I think it's from the governor's office, the director of the state, Washington State Broadband Office, Russ Elliott, came and Zoomed with us, and he encourages us to just, you know, go for it, put in a big number, because he thinks there's a big budget to do those projects. And it's, again, here it's if we want to have an impact on the economic recovery and mitigation of the COVID drama, we really need to do it in short order. We can't it can't be a long drawn out process. So what do you think? There's millions of dollars to be spent.
Staff comments.
Well, maintenance heavy week, so I'm glad not to be showing you photos on my background of flipped aircraft or sinking boats. Instead, we've got behind me a diver in the water, or a swimmer at least, and a crew working on fire suppression at Point Hudson. Earlier today, the port staff, Sean Wiles and his team, were working with Les Schwab to get the tires changed on the 300 ton. And that seems to be going well. I haven't checked in to see if they've got them aired up yet. Of course, that will be the moment of truth to make sure the bead's set and everything's going well. Otherwise, it's just been busy, normal busy. Pam and I toured the coast, Monday, and we'll be back in Quilce next Monday to meet with some members of the, is it the Linger Longer Committee, Pam?
I think so.
Or at least some members of the Linger Longer Committee. We're trying to kind of continue the conversation about how the port can engage with Quilce about the future of Quilce, and just, you know, as we lay out these budget priorities and grant opportunities, kind of figuring out, I mean, where does Quilce fit in there? Because there are substantive needs there and not enough funding. And I guess that's become very clear to me is that IDD money is a precious gift, and I think it will offer the opportunity for us to design and make shovel ready a number of the projects. It will also provide matching funds for grants for a number of projects. It would also, in and of itself, pay for a half of the Point Hudson Jetty project, and at that point, max out the port's entire borrowing capacity. So it's difficult to imagine a path forward for our capital program that doesn't involve expanding our footprint of funding to others and our state and federal folks. I had a nice conversation with Congressman Kilmer along those lines yesterday, and we're also, I think, getting closer to making a selection on a lobbyist to help us, something I'm hoping to be able to do probably next week after talking to three different firms about what they could do and how they might be able to help the port. On Point Hudson, we had a dive team out on Sunday doing the necessary survey work. Widener's team has been out probably about three times so far, working at various project locations to help us with our permit pathway, including our DDoT project and the Boat Haven main breakwater repair. So we're trying to get the strategies aligned and understand our pathway forward on really a number of those projects that Chris talked about at our earlier meeting as being sort of stuck pending permitting. And I think that's probably about it. Feels like there's a lot going on.
How about Abigail, are you on? Do you have any comments?
Well, just staying real busy getting geared up for budget with discussing things with Aaron and the managers on projects and other costs, looking at rates so we can present you a first draft along with rates at the same time. We most recently did a second draw on the line of credit in the amount of $1.25 million to make a fourth payment to Scarsella in the amount of about $1.4 million. So working from afar here, but I'll be back in the office next week. That's about it.
Aaron?
Nothing for me.
Les, you got anything you want to throw in there?
Nothing for the group, sir.
Okay. Commissioner comments. Pam?
Well, first of all, I want to thank the public for their comments today and encourage folks to participate, especially in these next few months in the budget process. And speaking of the public, thinking about different ways we can engage with the community and I'd like to invite commission discussion in the future about how we can engage besides just people speaking at public meetings and writing emails, maybe perhaps having like Zoom chats with a commissioner. One of the public engagement things that Aaron and I got to do last week was a KPTC interview, and that was aired Tuesday, you know, a little 30-minute time frame. They are going to put it on a podcast, and then we can put it on the port's website. But it was just an overview of all the different activities that are going on through the marine trades, through public access, all of our summer fun here. So I thought it was a really good interview. The city right now is doing an Engage PT for public outreach, and they've got a booth at the farmers market. John Morrow and different folks are standing there listening and talking with the community. So I just want to think about different ways we can engage. Aaron and I got to tour Coast Seafoods. So that was fantastic. And also then are initiating that quilting discussion. And so the quilting folks, we're going to meet with them. Aaron and I are going to meet with them again on Monday and discuss how they could maybe make a presentation to the commission about moving forward and engaging the public, and then the commission can weigh in on that. Instead of just having a, you know, one meeting down there, and, you know, how can we work up to a meeting through having some different public engagement, Zoom meetings and stuff. So I met with the Marine Resource Committee August 4th, and we talked about Quill Scene 2, and there, the Greg Brotherton is excited to work together on making, you know, whatever the community wants to come up with on how the county can help them too, along with the port. Other things discussed at the Marine Resource Committee was our public school system is the only one in the country who does place-based education around where we live, how we live, and that's based on the maritime community. The only one in the country. That was pretty cool to find out. Their 10th graders focus on all the different local businesses in our county, and their 10th through 12th grade program focuses on hands-on trades, maritime trades. Met with Kate Dean, and we'll be meeting with City, County, Court leadership again this Friday. So maybe, Aaron, we can call us. It's going to be with Michelle and Ariel and Kate and I. We can call us the four amigas. we're just talking about kind of that overall county vision, you know, reimagining what progress looks like here, and kind of the overarching theme of who we are and what we want to take care of here. Let's see.
You need a P&D rep to join your club.
Okay. Let's see. MRC, KT. Oh, I met with Derek Kilmer and Pete Langley yesterday through Zoom, of course, and we talked specifically about the boundaries throughout the United States have a huge economic impact, and Pete's foundry is one of five in the country contributing to that economic impact. So Derek is excited to look at making sure that business is stable here and continues. And we also talked about waste management and how Pete has some great ideas about how we can keep our waste and take care of it here and recycle it and reuse it rather than trucking it out. So Derek is looking at how he can help support those ideas. I think that's it.
And I did next to nothing compared to Pam.
Pam's been busy.
Yeah. I did go see a Flupsy. And I finally have seen the inside of those buildings in that coast, and went through and learned all the chemistry, and so I can grow my own shellfish in my backyard. All I need is access to a saltwater lagoon, which thankfully I don't have yet. It was great to get a tour of coast, and really nice to have a tour of the Flupsy out at the John Wayne Marina, and followed up a conversation with Aaron, was it last Friday, I want to say, sometime like that, down at Point Hudson, and we kind of looked in the water and said, well, it's going to go there. So, yeah, that's what I did on my vacation.
Yeah, and I don't, I'm kind of with Bill. I've seen the Flupsy, and it's a really interesting idea as we move forward with Point Hudson to talk more about how that could be integrated, and Jamestown becoming a part of Point Hudson potentially too. That could be really interesting. A lot, you know, I mentioned to several people, recently that it's just really encouraging to see how well the port is functioning right now on all levels, from senior staff down to everyone else, right down to the front office. And if anything, I think it's always a little bit disconcerting, or concerning, I guess is a more appropriate word, that you want to be staffed appropriately, and I know everyone's kind of flat out. And so, you know, as we move through budget process and we look at what we're doing from a FTE standpoint and a partial FTE, I think it's important just to remember that people can only do so much, and we want to be really careful that we don't overwork the staff to a point where we become dysfunctional. And just more of a compliment that the staff really works hard at all levels, and just want to make sure we're not overworking them. And other than that, that is going to conclude our meeting for the moment. We're going to adjourn into an exec meeting, and no potential decisions today. Is that correct?
Yeah, no action will be taken.
Yeah.
And just an update.
Yeah, and do you want to give us a sense of time? Do you have a time limit you want to throw on this? Or?
I would say, Aaron, 10 minutes.
Okay. 10 minutes.
Each of you has a separate link to that meeting.
Oh.
So are we going to reconvene this meeting on this? Can we use this ID again? I guess we can. Karen, do you know?
Of course you can. Yeah, this one's reusable over and over again. It just depends on if you're not making any decisions, do we need to?
I think we're required to, aren't we, Les?
Yeah.
No decisions in executive session. So it's just a briefing on a potential litigation matter.
The question they're puzzling over is whether they have to come back to this Zoom meeting.
Oh, no. As long as there's no action that's going to be taken, we can shut down here.
All right.
And also, just so you know, there's no attendees on this meeting. So I don't know if you need to leave.
Yeah, I'd feel better if you don't mind logging
in. Oh, I don't mind. But
one of our attorneys is waiting for us already.
I was going to say, yeah, I was just texting to let him know we were about to go over to that one. So.
Okay, sounds good.
From a security standpoint, not having the potential of anybody popping in office.
Okay, we'll see you in a moment.
So just for clarity, we in this meeting are going to adjourn this meeting. We're going to leave, and we have a link that we're going to click on to get into the other meeting, correct?
Yes.
Right.
You have an invite in your calendar from me from the morning at about 9:15 with a link to the executive session Zoom meeting.
Yeah. And then for the public, this will be the end of this meeting. We'll be adjourning into this executive meeting.
Correct. And the meeting will officially end in 10 minutes from now.
Right.
And then, you want to announce the next meeting like you normally do?
Yeah. I'm doing that.
All right.
And so for clarity for the public, our next meeting is going to be Wednesday, August 26th. The meeting is at 5:30 p.m. via Zoom. At this time, that is a regular meeting. There's no public workshop scheduled. That could change. Stay tuned on the website for more if we do have a public workshop. All right?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. See you in a couple minutes.
See you shortly.